Somebody was asking also about patriotism, and with all of this rich history, rich doesn't always mean good. You know, rich doesn't always mean good. It just means that there's a lot of history that we're not aware of. With all of this rich history, can we be patriotic? And then is there a way to tie that into the pentagram symbol in the layout of D.C.? I don't know if there's it's two different questions, but yeah. What do you guys think?
They're kind of separate on that. I would say why patriotism is a difficult pill to swallow is because, or why people get, you know, drawn to that. There's something back to that being comfortable, but it's a lot easier to be comfortable in it if you believe that it's basically taken patriotism and wrapped it together with Christianity, because people have that idea that we are a Christian nation from our origin. So, you know, let's get behind that, you know, let's be proud about that. So, I mean, I definitely, that's part of the difficulty in breaking that worldview, that paradigm, because when it's been coupled together, it's a lot easier to swallow. But when you realize that it's not the original story that we've been told, then you have to, you know, let the chips fall where they may. I would say, let me go ahead and say this. There's not another country on earth that I'd rather be living on or living in right now.
Amen.
Thankful. I'm thankful that God has given us the freedoms that we do have. And again, it goes back to that deal of redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need to take full advantage of every opportunity that we have to share the gospel while we still can. Because our times, it's going to run out. It's just, you know, read the newspaper, or nobody really reads the newspaper anymore.
can't believe we made it this far.
Yeah, but I don't know if that really answers the question or not. I can't find myself, my faith, my hope, it's all in Christ. It's all in Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. That's my focus. That's that. If anything gets in, you know, comes into conflict of that, then I'd say that there's a problem, you know. And I'm not going to, I mean, I'm not even tempted to say I'm going to stand with my country or a flag or whatever over my Christ. Yeah. You know, I'm first and foremost a follower of Christ. I'm not going to do anything to conflict with that. Now, if it doesn't conflict with that, then I would say that's, you know, the liberty that we have in Christ. So it would be between the person and him.
What do you think, Justin?
I think the idea of patriotism, first of all, as a Christian, we should take care of what we have.
Right.
You know, if you can be trusted with a little, then you can be trusted with a lot. And the fact is, we've been entrusted with a lot of freedoms. And listen, freedom is not cheap. Like, I think people need to understand that. Like, the freedoms we do have, granted, we do not have nearly the freedoms we used to have in America. The government has totally, the shadow government, which they call the deep state today, they have taken over. They have completely run America into the ground compared to the way it was when our grandparents were here. Now, most people don't realize that because we were born in a different generation. But if you study history, you see that we are now living in a police state versus a freedom, a freedom type of state back in the old days. And if you really if you could go all the way back into the days of our founding fathers, even though it was an oligarchy, let me say that again, because somebody's going to just really not like this. Mm-hmm. The deep state, the shadow government, goes all the way back to George Washington and the founding fathers. When they signed the Constitution, they signed the papers, they shut the doors, they locked them, and they even locked the windowsills, and they shut the blinds. They didn't want anyone that was a normal civilian to see how they were framing the government. Now, this is a shock to most people, but we have evidence. We prove this. We had retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, who is a senior Pentagon analyst and who's a born-again Christian, by the way.
Yes, phenomenal human being. Yeah,
he is, and he is a force to not be reckoned with.
That's right.
Literally, this guy, he knows his history, and he works in the Pentagon. And he came out, and he is on our film presenting that the deep state goes all the way back to Washington and how they had a plan even back then. He says, even back then, it was an oligarchy. Now, let me break down oligarchy real quick. An oligarchy is a situation where a very few amount of people are controlling a lot.
Right.
Now, in terms of government, an oligarchy would mean the entire government is ruled by a very small class of elite. Now, it was an oligarchy in George Washington's day. It has been an oligarchy ever since. And people in D.C. still call it an oligarchy. And this came right out of the mouth of senior Pentagon analyst in our film. Now, let's move back just a hair. It was an oligarchy back then. We are also told that it was a republic back then, to the republic for which it stands, right? Well, somehow that idea of a republic has been crapped on and covered up in kitty litter. And now it's this idea of a democracy that's being forced, right? It's being forced. We are the good guys spreading democracy to every country against their will. That's kind of what Team America has been doing. Now, does democracy have its benefits? I'm sure that it does. I'm not going to sit here and act like it doesn't. However, when you look at the history of democracy, democracy goes back to the ancient polytheistic Greeks. Democracy is an occult idea, ladies and gentlemen. Study democracy's history, and you'll find out that it is directly linked with occult religion. The polytheistic Greeks, the democracy was what their dream was, to have a world democracy system. Mm-hmm. So we have all these things ingrained into American society. And one other thing I want to touch on in the patriotism discussion is that when we think about the story of Osiris and Isis, and, you know, Isis, as Wes told the story earlier, but I'm sure some people who have kind of joined the conversation since then, Osiris gets killed by Set, and then he cuts his body into 14 pieces. Now, when he throws those 14 pieces into the Nile River, the fish eat his genitals. So there's now only 13 pieces of Osiris. So what does Isis do? She fashions them together in a more perfect union. And just like we take the 13 colonies and join them together in a more perfect union.
Oh, yeah.
This is the history. The 13 colonies, Josh, was planned. Mm-hmm.
It was I never made that connection before until you just said that. That wow. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah.
So even in the 13 colonies that they planned ahead of time, it's all going back to Osiris and the 13 pieces of the 14 pieces. And so where does the 14th piece come? The 14th piece is the phallic symbol. It's the Washington Monument, which is the largest of its kind. Now, it is 6666, four sixes. 6666 inches from the ground to the tip. Now that's 555 feet. And then you go below ground and it's 111 feet. So from the
underground,
111 wow. feet. If you do the math, it has to be a certain distance in the ground so that it doesn't tip over, right? Just it's basic physics.
Right, right.
So what you end up with is 6666 inches above ground, 555 feet. And that's significant, but also the 111 is significant because 111 is what the magic 666 square equals on any given line. And the 666 square is actually based inside the base of the monument. But what you end up with is from the very lowest point to the very highest point, you're dealing with 666 feet of the largest penis on Earth. And pardon my language, but that is what it is. Mm-hmm. And right. Why was America chosen for the largest genitalia of Satan to be placed? Because in the final reign of the empire, this great democracy, this was going to be the land. And the generator for that was this giant phallic symbol of George Washington's monument and the womb of Isis, which is the Capitol dome. This generator, as Russ Dizdar calls these charged objects. This is like in Ghostbusters, the building that basically was set up to draw down the power. This is what this is. This is what this was created for, so that they could literally draw the powers of Satan, the seething energies of Lucifer, according to the Freemasons. And they needed these monuments to be exactly that right here in our capital city, which, by the way, the capital city is based on Capitoline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So there's a whole lot more to the story there. But I tell you all this to say that even from the 13 colonies, that goes back to Osiris and Isis. Mm-hmm. Now, we take care of what we have. We be grateful. You know, we take care of what the Lord has given us, and we need to be grateful for what we have. And I think this whole idea of patriotism, like, I mean, I'm thankful for what we do have. I'm thankful that I can wake up in the morning and that I can pray and that I can read my Bible and that I can minister. You know, I'm very grateful for that.
Absolutely.
This idea of patriotism, it tends to get blended oftentimes. It tends to get blended with nationalism.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's a difference there, but unfortunately the lines have been blurred. And, you know, I'm grateful to be in America. I love the fact that I'm blessed enough to have been born here, because we, you know, we do have a system here that allows us to work and make money and to, you know, to basically, you know, live life without a whole lot of government and, you know, infliction or interaction, obviously besides paying taxes and whatnot. But outside of that, there's countries that don't have the same liberties that we have. And so I'm grateful for that. And I think we should be pleased with that and thankful. However, I don't believe it's really the Christian's job to be getting intertangled in the daily affairs of government.
Yes, good point.
That's where I choose to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, mm-hmm. render to God what's God's, and live peaceably. And this is the other thing. Even if we don't like what the government's doing, it's not catching God by surprise. You know, God ordains the leadership of the world. And you know, for people who are saying, you know, well, God put Trump in office. Okay, yeah, but he also put Obama in office. He also put Adolf Hitler in office. And listen, people who don't like me saying this, listen, you got to live by your same logic. If you're going to live by a logic, you got to be willing to take that same logic and apply it to all the other situations. I believe God put Trump in office, but I also believe that God put Obama in office and the same with Adolf Hitler. And God always has a reason and a purpose so far greater than anything we can fathom that we have to say, we know God has put this person here for a certain time. I may not understand it. I may not like this person, but God has put him there and God has a bigger timeline than I can understand right now. I need to make sure that I'm living up to that standard of the gospel and walking in the truth of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, trusting that God is in control, even if things look crazy on the surface. So patriotism, I can take it or leave it. I care. I love this country. I care about this country, but God is my first love. I don't, you know, if it comes down to obeying an American law or like, okay, would I fight for America before I fight for Jesus? No, I would always fight for the gospel before I fought for our nation.